It's opening week, and you know what that means. We have a lot to talk about before the Yankees open up the 2020 regular season. We're going to kick it off here on this new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Happy opening week, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. We have a couple of things to talk about today, and we'll kind of give you an agenda of what the show is going to bring, but we also want to give you guys an update in regards to how many shows you're going to get from us this week. We're planning on doing at least 3 episodes for opening week. First and foremost, this show. We have a couple Yankees news and notes topics to talk about, and we also want to look a little bit deeper into the 2 exhibition games between the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. Our second show of the week will be when the Yankees release their 30-man roster, and what we'll do on that show is we'll break down the exhibition game against the Phillies, and we'll also look at the roster. I'm sure that my roster that I predicted a couple of weeks ago was wrong. There's a couple of pieces that are in and out that could definitely be replaced or have reason to be replaced, and we'll break that all down for you on that show. And finally, opening day, I expect to go live right before first pitch. We'll break down lineups, we'll look ahead to matchups, we'll do it all for you on that show. But as always, interact with us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND and at Nick_Delahanty on Twitter. Find us on Facebook searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're also live on Instagram by searching up Delahanty Media. Now, as always, our show is available on all podcasting platforms. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it. Our show is there available for you. It's an exciting time. We finally have baseball to talk about, and we're excited to get into the action and get into the thick of things. Now, I want to get started right away. As you can probably tell, I'm a little amped up this week. I'm very excited for opening night, and it's just something that I feel we've had to be so patient for, and we've waited so long, and it's been such a long journey and a long process, and the way the world has been, and you guys all know it because you're living in it with me, the world has been facing a pandemic that we've never seen before. The COVID-19 virus has really shut down the way we know the world as it was, and it halted the start of the baseball season, which probably, like yourselves, really broke my heart. It's a time of the year that I truly wait for. Opening day is like a national holiday to me, and I already have it planned out. Opening night, I'll be watching the Yankees, obviously, and all Friday, I'll be watching games via MLB TV. You name it, I'll have as many games on as possible. Of course, I'll be streaming live from the Jersey Shore. Of course, social distancing. I'm not one to really sit on the beach and be around a lot of people, but I will be watching from the comfort of my very own home. But back on track here a little bit, you know, I just feel like this is so surreal and it's different. This whole season is going to be different. And I think that's what we all need to know going in. We always say it. It's not a marathon, it's a sprint. 60 games. You got to have your best effort every single night because all 60 games matter. You're playing your division and your interleague opposite division, which for the Yankees is the NL East. And every game matters. You have to be ready to go on a given night. And I think the most important thing to realize from this is if you have a tough stretch of games, say a 7-8 game stretch, where you lose 5 out of 8 or 6 out of 8, that could really hurt you in the thick of things. It's not like you have 162 games, especially against some opponents that you might see as a little bit more less challenging in, per se. You might get a non-division team come into the stadium for 3 games and they might be battling for last place in their division or heck battling for the worst record in the game. Now if you look at the Yankee schedule, you're playing a tough schedule against some good quality teams and you have to bring it every single night. I'm sure this Yankees team will be ready to go and I'm excited to see what they have as opening day is almost here. Now let's jump into the news and notes. I think the biggest news is that DJ LeMahieu and Luis Sessa have returned to Yankees camp after both testing positive for COVID-19 prior to the start of summer camp. That is huge news. LeMahieu, as you probably saw in the scrimmage against the Mets, led off in the second game and only played a couple innings, but he had a really nice at-bat in the first inning. He's a guy that, he was the Yankees MVP last year. Let's call a spade here. He was the guy that, if you took him off the roster, that hurt the worst. But with his ability to play second, ability to play first. We expected him to be a utility guy to begin with, but nobody expected him to be as productive as he was last year. A very valuable piece. He'll be the full-time second baseman this year. But again, he is a very, I mean very valuable piece for this team. Who knows if he'll be ready for opening day? Expect him to be on the opening day roster, because it would make zero sense for the Yankees to not include him on the roster and then him come back after one or two games if he's ready, and then they have to make a roster move and a couple of corresponding moves at that. So expect him to be on the roster. Does he suit up on opening night? Who knows? I'm not sure. It could go either way at this point. But knowing LeMahieu and seeing how he's been, I think it's not going to take many at-bats for him to get back in the swing of things. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if he's leading off against Scherzer on opening night. It really wouldn't surprise me. And again, it wouldn't surprise me either way whether he's not ready to go and the Yankees take it cautiously with him, knowing that it's a 60-game sprint, and the Bronx Bombers are definitely going to need him healthy and productive if they want to compete for a World Series title in 2020. And I hate to focus the attention on LeMahieu, so I'm going to jump right into Luis Sessa. And he's a guy that showed symptoms of the virus. And as he said to the media earlier on Monday, that he lost some appetite, he lost some taste, some smell. And he was really impacted by this virus. You know, he's a guy that it really did hit him. And I'm just happy to see him back and healthy and hopefully get back onto the mound soon in pinstripes. And you know, I'm one of those people who give him slack because of the role he kind of pitches in the bullpen. There are times where he struggles and it's noticeable. But if you look closer at the numbers, Sessa was a very valuable piece for the Yankees bullpen in 2019. And he's been consistently a pretty valuable asset to them. And there's a reason why, when he had no options left during last season, that the Yankees didn't try to designate him for assignment and keep him in the system, because they would have lost him. They would have never been able to keep him. And the Yankees see the importance of him and see the role that he's able to play. You know, not a lot of guys could pitch out of the bullpen like he does and give you 3 to 4 quality innings of work and be used on a regular basis like that. So I think that with all the star power we have on this team and all the tremendous assets they have, I think Sessa's right up there. Yeah, you can say that he's not Ottavino or Britton or Chapman or Green or even a Jonathan Holder or a Canley, but he's a guy that knows his role, plays his role well, and helps his team. And in a season where you're not going to get starting pitchers to go very long into games early on, if they get Sessa back within a reasonable time frame, I don't know what the timetable is on him, but if they get him back in a reasonable amount of time, he's a guy that you could put him in a game in the fifth inning and he could possibly finish the game. Or if you have a big lead, he could help save the rest of the arms. Or even if you're getting blown out, God forbid, we don't want him to get blown out, but it happens, he's a guy that could kind of limit the damage and save the rest of the arms in the pen. And that's a big asset to have if you're Aaron Boone. So as much as we talk about LeMahieu being out with, and coming back with the virus, and now Chapman being out, we're waiting on his timetable, Sessa's just as valuable, and I'm happy to see him back, and I'm hoping that he's feeling better and can help contribute to this team very soon. While we're talking about Chapman, it's unknown about him, but again, he's a guy that I think once he gets back into camp, it won't be long before he's back in big league action. Let's remember, the Yankees use him as a one-inning guy, a one-inning reliever type. So if they could build the stamina up to where they need him to be and they see that he's healthy and fresh, I think they're going to get him back sooner rather than later. So I wouldn't expect it to be long for Chapman. Chapman's been posting on Instagram about it, and it just seems like he'll be ready to go quickly. Hopefully he's able to test negative and get back into action soon. But again, you hope that he has no setbacks from the virus. That's the main concern right now. But we talk about it all the time. Chapman's important to this team. We all know how valuable he is. And You just hope that you could get him back in a reasonable time frame, especially that we know, and I keep saying it because it's important, a 60-game season is very different than a 162-game slate. Now, let's get off the topic of COVID-19 for a few minutes. And this is a really weird story. And if you follow me on social media and whatnot, or you follow the Bronx Pinstripes team that I write for, and I say it all the time, I firmly believe, and that's not just because I'm on the team, but I believe that we're one of the best out there in terms of giving all the Yankees news and updates. So if you haven't checked it out, go to BronxPinstripes.com. I wrote an article the other night detailing a post that Domingo Germán put on his Instagram account. And the post read in Spanish, it was translated, that he was leaving baseball and he thanked everybody. Now, as the Yankees played in their exhibition game, it was just a really weird post to see. And Germán was a guy that we didn't hear about because of the suspension. If you remember, he's suspended due to the domestic violence case that he had. He'll have to serve the 60 games, or it's 63, I believe. It will take him into the postseason. So obviously, it's not likely we'll see him in 2020, and I doubt the Yankees will bring him back just for the postseason unless it's in a bullpen type of role. But it was just weird timing to see Germán post like that. And nobody had any inclination. Boone had no idea. Gary Sanchez, his teammate, had no idea. And then the next day, Germán posted that he's not walking away from the game and that he's excited to get back in this whole thing. So it was a little bit of a weird situation. And again, Germán's a guy that you understand the severity of what he did. And nobody, and I mean nobody, thinks that what he did was right. But in the long haul, you hope that this helped make him a better person, a better man, a better father, a better husband, and that it never happens again. Domestic violence is something that you don't want to play around with. And as he's suspended and has this time away, you hope that he works on becoming a better version of himself and that he tackles that aspect before even worrying about getting back on the mound. And it's probably a difficult time for him, you know. Baseball's his passion. He grew up playing the game. He loves the game, you would guess. And I don't think anybody who plays the game does it if they hate it. You know, there's probably people out there that don't love it as much, but I'm sure he has a true passion for it. You just hope that he's able to take care of business off the field before worrying about getting back on. And seeing a message like that was really random and really weird. I'm glad he cleared it up and said he's looking forward to a return. Who knows how he figures into this Yankee team? Who knows how he fits in baseball? But that was just a weird, odd situation that I wanted to bring up. And it's relevant because if you're looking at the Yankees team this year, where does Germán really fit? You know, the guy won, 18 games before the suspension? He was one of their best pitchers last year. Does he fill in the fifth starter spot and take away from a guy like Jordan Montgomery, or does he fit in the bullpen? Who knows? But I think the main thing to think about in terms of Germán is getting him back on the field after he, A, serves the suspension, and B, gets his life back on track to where, like I said before, he improves on all aspects of life, not just focusing on pitching. And I wish him the best. I like him. I never had a problem with him as a pitcher. I think he's a great young arm. I just hope that when the time is right, he'll be ready to rock and roll. We're going to shift gears once again now that we got off the weird topic of the day. And the Yankees exhibition games with the New York Mets. Now, there's a lot of takeaways you can make from these games. And the Yankees ended up winning both. We're going to break down both a little bit for you. But there was a couple of things that stood out on the Yankees end. And I'm going to touch base on it before I get into any of the games in particular. Number one, the Yankees pitching looked extremely, and I mean extremely good. And if you start with the starting pitching, the two young guys in Michael King and Jordan Montgomery really impressed me. Now, Michael King is a guy that I feel will have an impact on this team. I think that eventually they're going to need him to either spot start or they're going to use him out of the pen. But he threw four quality innings against the Mets in the first game, only let up one run, and his stuff is just really good. He might not be a top-of-the-line guy, but down the road, you could see him as a three or a number four starter, and that's depth when you could say that a guy like with that kind of stuff is a three or a four on a good team. So I was impressed with him. And then in game one at Citi Field, you kind of saw the big guns go out in action. Aaron Boone kind of flexed a little bit. He went Britton let up a run, but still was working on a couple of things. Then you had a scoreless inning from Green, another scoreless inning from Canley, and then another scoreless inning from Ottavino. Heller came in to close it out. He kind of struggled a little bit, but again, the game was out of reach. We saw Clint Frazier hit an absolute moonshot in the fourth inning. Now, Frazier did it with a mask on, and you guys know how I am. I want to get back to normal life. So Frazier could hit a fastball or a breaking ball, whatever kind of pitch it was, with a mask on and hit it as far as he can, and then ran around the bases with the mask on. You guys could wear a mask when you go out into public. It's not that hard. And again, this was, it was a fun game to watch. The Yankees kind of poured it on in the ninth. They scored five in the ninth. It was a bloated score due to that. But again, you saw three hits out of Tauchman. You saw two hits out of Glaber. Stanton had a hit. And Duhar, who played left field, had two hits. And you had to be impressed with what you saw from the Yankees overall in that 9-3 win. The Mets defense was atrocious. Four errors in that ball game. Four errors. Can you imagine that? In an exhibition game, I get it. It's an exhibition game, whatever. But again, that is something that is, that's a no-no, especially coming so close to the regular season. If that's a trend for the Mets, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And another thing you have to look at too, who knew that the Mets were like the throwback Thursday version of the Yankees? You have Cano, obviously. He's in the mix there. Then you had Chase and Shreve. You have Melky Cabrera, Eduardo Nunez. I was watching the first game, and I was saying to myself, man, this is like watching an old Yankees game. This is crazy. It's truly unbelievable. But again, Yankees looked really good in that game. And then in game two at the stadium, that was on Sunday night, Jordan Montgomery stole the show. Montgomery went five innings, only allowed two hits. He actually had to finish his game in the bullpen because he was so efficient with his pitches. And then what more can you say? Loaisiga comes in. He throws three innings out of the pen. He might be the guy that fills that Sessa type of role until Sessa gets back. And heck, he might even slide in as a one-inning reliever, let it all loose. And then you had Holder finish the game. All three guys looked rather impressive. Montgomery was hitting around 95 on certain pitches. It's good to see him, especially coming off the Tommy John surgery, look so good. And if you're looking at a 60-game slate, this benefits him because of the fact that you're coming off Tommy John. He probably would have had an innings limit. So now you could kind of let it loose and you can go from there and see how he does. But the big story in game two was the Bronx Bombers. They were flexing their guns. It was great. Judge hits a home run right in the first inning. It was only 402 feet. I love saying only 402 feet, but going off the rest of the numbers, you're going to laugh at that. Then Sanchez comes up in the fourth. He hits a bomb into the second deck. Voit puts one into dead center field into Monument Park, 443 feet off the bat. Then Judge comes up a little while later. He hits another homer. And then Stanton. Stanton hits a absolute moonshot, 448 feet. The thing that really stands out from that game is the amount of depth the Yankees have. It was the closest thing we've seen to the Yankees starting lineup, minus the fact that Matt Duffy played third and you didn't see Urshela or Andujar. But it was so refreshing to see just how good this lineup could be, even when it wasn't at full strength. And when, if you watch the Phillies scrimmage, you're going to see the Yankees most likely opening day lineup. And it's just amazing how much depth they have, both pitching and offensively. And I love reading on Twitter and stuff. You see a lot of people talking. They say, if you look at the Yankees pitchers, skip it from, say, number 15 to number 30 on the roster. Those are all guys that can help the big league club. And you're going to have situations where you're going to have guys off this opening day roster, especially offensively, that could help any other team in the league. If Estrada doesn't make the team, he was the Yankees MVP in summer camp. He's been awesome. You look at a guy like, say, Andujar, who's a regular for other teams. Urshela, who's going to split time. He's another regular for other teams. You have so much depth and so much talent. Clint Frazier, we mentioned his moonshot. he's another guy that he could probably be a starting outfielder on 10 to 11 teams in this league, maybe even more. So the amount of depth is crazy, and I think that last year, the injury-ridden season helped this club. And in a 60-game slate, you hope that these guys could just stay healthy and you could run that everyday lineup out there or close to it, mix and match guys, and give Aaron Boone some fun when making up the lineup, because there are a lot of options, there's a lot of talent, and the way that they swing the bat, there might be a lot of home runs in the Bronx this year, especially when you have 30 games at the Bronx, in the Bronx, I should say, and they hit 5 last night. Imagine if they keep up a pace similar to that. They hit 2 to 3 a game. That'd be rather impressive. I know it's a long shot, but it's something that you never could take out of consideration. Now, I want to look at the Mets for a minute in case any of you are Mets fans or want my opinion on the Mets. They're a little concerning to me, and they're a team. If you listen to my old shows or you listen to the Let's Debate podcast that myself and my cousin Kyle Delahanty run, I always have said a 60-game schedule benefits the Mets. Why? They have a good starting rotation. Their bullpen, if they figure it out, could be solid, but they looked sloppy defensively, and their hitters seemed to just look not lost at the plate, but they struggled. Montgomery took him into the fifth inning, didn't allow a hit. You had guys like Jeff McNeil, who a lot of people say is a very good hitter, and I agree with that. Pete Alonso, who they're saying is out of shape, kind of looks pretty bad offensively, and I don't know if you guys watch very closely like I did, but he is a slug at first base. And with the Mets DH situation, you have Cano under contract, Cespedes. He's a guy that I can see as a long-term DH, and the Mets just don't have that opportunity. Watch Alonso around the bag and watch how he catches the ball. Particularly, there's a ground ball that Torres hit. And instead of reaching in front of the bag to catch the ball, Alonso goes back and catches the ball in foul territory, which was really weird to me. And it was a good throw. It wasn't a bad throw by any means from what I remember seeing. So I think the Mets are in a little bit of trouble. I think that they're trying to find their identity, how they're going to mix and match in the lineup. And a big question is Robbie Cano. Is Cano still that guy you want to plug in the middle of your lineup? Or is he a guy that you're going to slide in lower in the lineup and hope you get something out of him? Only time will tell. And DeGrom's injury is definitely something to keep an eye out for. Looks like he'll start on opening night, but who knows how that back's going to hold up. But I know it's exhibition games. If you're Yankee fans, obviously you're excited. They're healthy, knock on wood, obviously. They're looking sharp. The pitching looks pretty good. You're hoping that everything goes well with the final exhibition game. And if you're a Mets fan, you're a little concerned, but you kind of write it off and say, all right, we got that out of the way. Let's look forward to the start of the 2020 regular season when it actually counts and it actually matters. And that's all you can really ask for. Now, that's going to wrap up today's show. Like I said earlier, I am amped up for the start of the season. I hope you guys are too. Stay tuned for more episodes this week. We'll have more. We'll continue to update you on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, at Nick_Delahanty on Twitter, Pinstripe Talk Podcast on Facebook. Search it up, find the show, listen on any platform that you so choose. Again, our show is available on all podcasting platforms. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Stitcher, you name it. Our show is there, available for you. Please take some time to listen. Share the link with your fellow fans, fellow friends. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you end up joining in on our conversation. Ah, you can smell it. Opening day is almost here, my friends. There's a couple things you need to do before opening day. Number one, get your Yankee gear out. Get ready to rock and roll. I expect everybody in front of their TVs on Thursday night tweeting, interacting with us. There's a lot going on, a lot of excitement. And again, follow us on social media. We want to talk about Yankees baseball with you. So rock those Yankee pinstripes. Let's go, Yankees. We're one step closer to real baseball that counts. Until next time, and it's going to be a very soon next time, thank you again for listening into the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and we're going to talk to you very, very soon. Once again, take care, and as always, let's go Yankees.